John Heslink, and this is The Night Side.
Good morning, and welcome to another edition of The Night Side on CFRB 1010. I'm John Heslink, and this morning, will Charles ever become king? Well, our guest in New York City, the top intelligence agent for the Council of Ten, whatever that is, the House of Windsor, I believe that's the royal family, and in point of fact, the man who introduced Camilla Parker Bowles to Prince Charles, master spy Bob Dobbs, is going to be one of our guests here in the studio in Toronto. Nelson Thal from the Marshall McLuhan Center for Media Studies is my guest. A little later in the show, we've got a clairvoyant lined up to help you find long-lost loved ones just in time for the holidays. Barbara Quinnell will be our guest, and we're going to be doing a little spoofing during the last hour, some tall tales, a few short tunes. But first, Nelson Thal, welcome back to The Night Side on CFRB 1010.
Welcome, John. It's a pleasure being back again with you, and especially tonight where we have a great opportunity for our fellow explorers around the world.
Well, we've got some explorers, and on the line with us now is a man that you wanted to introduce, actually. This is Bob Dobbs. Bob, are you there? Hello, Bob.
Hello, John.
There he is. Bob is on the line there now. Bob, Nelson is here in the studio with us. How are you this morning?
Fine.
Well, I wanted to say before we did talk to Bob that I think Bob requires some sort of a special introduction, John. And, of course, it's midnight, and usually there's a great rush to get through things quickly on radio. But I do want to tonight beg our listeners to sit back and relax and take advantage of the late hour and just sit down and just clear their minds of the hokum pokum and the craziness of the day. I do want to just give Bob an important introduction because there are people around the world who heard about the fact that he was going to be on tonight and have been calling in and trying to find out a lot about what he is going to say and how they could hear the show. I would like to just off the top mention that we'll be fielding questions tonight, not only from phone calls from the number that you'll be giving out, John, but also we are on the internet.
We're on the net. We're up and running right now. Yeah, we're punched in.
We're right here now, and that means that anybody around the world who is listening to this program, whether you're in Japan or China, and whether you're in India or Turkey or Israel or Egypt, wherever you are around the world, we're now linked in a great global village theater. And what we can do tonight is people who want to ask a question of Bob will be able to email us at the email address Wyndham, that's Wyndham, Wyndham, which is short for Wyndham Lewis, Wyndham at AOL, America Online, AOL.com. Also, those who have America Online will be able to field questions to us by going into the people connection mode on the AOL and go into the private room CFRB, all in lowercase, and we'll be able to also take their questions through that avenue.
I actually feel sorry for the people on the internet because those listening to my voice right now, you can call me without going through any of that garbage. 872-1010, 1-800-561-CFRB and Star Talk. I'm John Heslink. This is The Night Side. Nelson Thal is in the studio here with us and on the line with us from, we believe, New York City, Bob Dobbs. Bob, it says here in your resume that, how do you get known as a master spy?
By being one.
But Bob, if I was a master spy, I wouldn't tell anybody. It's like going around saying, well, I'm an undercover police officer.
Well, John, everything's disappeared, so I have no audience. You've disappeared. Everybody's disappeared. I have to tell everybody because I am attempting to resuscitate them.
Oh, my God, you sound like Nelson.
Well, but
he's
John,
a buddy of yours, isn't he?
John, I'm just going to take a minute and throw this introduction out for our listeners so that they'll be able to sort of get into Bob.
Okay.
But anybody who imagines that free speech exists in the English-speaking world today really should have a good listen to to Bob Dobbs, who really is the world's foremost scientist and artist. Now, Dobbs is a reincarnation of those philosophers and poets of old who had unique ways of seeing and feeling the world, but often found themselves addressing audiences totally lacking such perceptions and awarenesses. Tactility, you know, is the only medium of communication in the universe of the amoeba, whereas people communicate by sharing changes in their thoughts and feelings. Now, Dobbs's entire approach depends upon a conviction that a scientist or artist is an individual who has special insight into the future directions of his culture, and that's something that we'll be getting into later tonight with Bob. Dobbs is deeply concerned with the ways and means of using English to confer maximal awareness and satisfaction upon his listeners and readers. But no one but Dobbs has the necessary training to teach others that the mystery of communication lies in the art of dialogue and creating understanding rather than just matching sensibilities. Dobbs himself once stated that, quote, every person that sees, hears, and thinks is engaged in making a response to a situation which is mostly of their own fictional invention, unquote.
Kirk, the Enterprise, you're going to have to beam me up. You're losing me, Nelson. We're just into the intro here.
Well, let's finish
that. I thought this guy was a master spy, sort of James Bondish.
Well, you'll see that poetry is the twin, as they say, James Angleton said,
espionage. You're not going to read poetry now.
Most all intelligence spies and super spies, from Ian Fleming, who was a writer, to Sir William Stevenson, all of them, Norman Holmes Pearson, the father of American counterintelligence, edited William Auden's book of poetry. The point is, Angleton talked about how the twin of espionage is poetry, so they're very much linked. But Dobbs's unique mastery of the art of dialogue enables him to neutralize the all-pervasive propaganda in our daily lives, and since propaganda ends where dialogue begins, Dobbs is able to update consciousness and reveal reality. And that is the job of the artist in society, and that is why Dobbs is the greatest artist alive.
Dobbs,
so let's go ahead with
Dobbs,
him.
Are you there?
Yes.
You're still with us, right?
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
Nelson described about 33% of me.
33?
And a third.
33 and a third, yeah. That means you're a slow-turning piece of vinyl.
No, I'm at best a quirk.
Bob, I got to ask you here now. You actually introduced Chuck to Camilla Parker Bowles.
Yes, there's an embed about that in my book, Fat of Communion with Bob Dobbs, on page 122 of the Memo to Prince Charles, written in 1990. I talk about Kathy Bowles. Her name began with C. Camilla begins with C. That was an embed warning him that I knew of that. I was the originator, and it could be a problem. Within 2 years of June 90, it was a problem for him.
It got a problem then. He sort of... What was it, love at first sight here?
No, this was about 20 years ago.
Really?
He acquired an affection for over time. He had involvements with many other women, but Camilla had the astrological vibration that he responded to in the long run. It's true love.
Do you think this is something that he was fighting for a period of years? I mean, he met Camilla years and years ago, yet he married Di.
Well, I had an action in forcing him to marry Di, but let's not get into that. The point is that he does have feelings, and it wasn't a problem for him. But since the financial system collapsed in 1982, the only people with money not invested in foreign loans was the royal oligarchy, and they had to be propped up in the 80s as the reference point for the afterimage of money in the political economy.
Now, Bob, I'm also told with my copious quantities of notes here that... You have sort of an innate ability to predict the future based on past patterns.
Yes.
Now, how did you derive this particular, talent?
Well, because I live in the future, and when you work in the Secret Council 10 in espionage...
Whoa, Bob, you live in the future?
Yes.
This is December, what, 6th, 7th?
No, that's visual space calendar terms. We live 200 years in calendar terms every 12 months, so we're living in the year 4,000, probably the way you would calculate it. The point is I deal with massive environments that extend over hundreds of years.
Stop.
I'm living
your tax bills must be astronomical.
I'm not involved in the world
of
money.
I mean, you owe money you haven't even made yet.
I don't deal with money. I deal with fusion. I'll tell you, if you want something, you want some predictions? By the end of 96, the codes in all the security computers around the world and on the Internet will be weakened and broken. Because in 1993, the multiplication of the RS-129 prime number factors was done by 600 machines with 600 people working on them. And it took a long amount of time to do that. and they broke the code, and that became an issue, and it was corrected. But this next 12-month period, one individual is going to create a situation where he will crack all codes in all diplomatic levels and all internet levels that would only require a 48-hour effort. Now, that will be a new environment, a new technology. So I'm living in the future. I know this is coming, and it will disrupt everything. It'll even disrupt, to bring it home to Prince Charles, it will disrupt the present King of England. And you know who the present King of England is?
I didn't know they had one.
Lady Di solved their problem.
Yeah?
When she went public last week under my advice, 2 weeks ago.
Right. You told her to do this.
Yes, because here's the situation. They were not going to make Prince Charles king. Prince William was too young. What are they going to do in the resident interval for the next 15 years? So they said, I told Di, if you go out and demand to be made ambassador, and if the ratings show that you did well in that first night, Buckingham Palace and Prince Charles will immediately send you out in a new position. So she is going to become a roving ambassador and, in effect, the present King of England and solve their dilemma.
Wow, so you don't see Chuck ever wearing the crown, do you?
No way.
Okay, look, I got phone lines open here. The phone lines are open at 872-1010, 1-800-561-CFRB and StarTalk. If you want to get in contact with us via the Internet, then you have to do this.
You can email us through the email address Wyndham@AOL.com, or go, if you are a member of America Online, you can go onto it, and we're in a private room with the names all lowercase, CFRB, lowercase.
Okay, so can you now put a flash over the Internet that we are doing this and that we are live on the air? Have you done that?
Yeah, we've done that.
We've done that. So have we got people contacting us at this point? Or?
That's correct.
It's starting to happen.
Yep.
Is it's starting to come together here.
We're boiling.
I'm always a little intense when we're dealing with Internet things because I really don't understand much about it. I know what a mouse is, and I know what the cursor is, and that's about all.
Go ahead.
Do the commercial. Do the commercial. This is the Night Side. I'm John Heslick. The phone lines are open at 872-1010, 1-800-561-CFRB and Star Talk. We do continue right here on CFRB 1010. Continues on CFRB 1010. In the studio with me is, a guy that's been with us many times before. And it is...
You forgot.
No. From the... I couldn't remember the name of the company. Yeah. Nelson Thal from the Marshall McLuhan Center for Media Studies. And in New York City, Bob Dobbs. And we're referring to Bob as, a master spy. Bob, are you there?
Yes, John.
Okay, let's go and take a few phone calls here at this point. Eric, good morning. Welcome to CFRB 1010. Hello. Hi, Eric, you're on.
Hi, what's up?
We're fine here. What's up with you?
I just got a question for Bob. Bob, I believe that I'm reverting to my true Yeti self, and I was wondering if you have any advice on how to get rid of the hair.
Subscribe to Stang's Internet, all slack.
Excellent. Next question.
I'm not understanding one word of that.
It's code, John.
It's code. We're talking code on the air here.
Yeah,
we've got to speak code
or else Yahweh One will find out what we're speaking of.
Yeah, that static you hear, those are my listeners tuning out. Speak English.
Okay, Eric, and after you do that, check out Fata Communion with Bob Dobbs.
Okay, can I just ask one more question?
In English.
In English. Where do I find good frop in the Toronto area?
You can't.
Okay, can you give me a mail order catalog?
A what?
Mail order catalog for good prop.
Time Again Productions.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay,
bye.
Jeez, I don't even know if I should thank Eric for that. That's a little too deep and too intense for me. Let's go out of town here and grab an out-of-town line. We've got Andy standing by. Andy, good morning. Welcome to CFRB 1010. Where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm calling from Georgetown area.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a two-part question. Mm-hmm. I promise I'll speak English.
Thank you.
Okay. First question is whether Bob Dobbs had advised Colin Powell not to run.
No, I had nothing to do with that.
You had nothing to do with that at all?
No, it wasn't necessary. The president will be Phil Graham. It's already prearranged.
Phil Graham?
Yep.
Who's Phil Graham?
He's running for president in the Republican Party. You haven't heard of him?
Well, I've heard of him. I mean, but who the heck is he? I mean, this guy's... What's he, a dark horse candidate?
That's what you have to be today. You have to be a quirk.
Like Clinton. If we were here at the same period of time prior to the last election, Clinton was a nobody.
That's
unknown.
Right. So, any other questions?
Yes. There was a woman from California in the early 80s who used to be able to predict political outcomes as well. Do you know her name?
May Brussel.
That's it. Bingo.
Andy, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay.
You're welcome.
My God, Bob, how do you do that? Do you do personal readings, Bob?
Yes.
Do you see anything good in my future?
Yes.
Do you see me, like, getting a show tomorrow night after this one?
No, John, listen, Fusion Energy is coming for you. Pons replacement in France are going to allow you to leave Toronto over the next 10 years.
Am I going to leave as a fugitive, though? That's the question.
You'll have no framework. There'll be no jail. You'll be free from the money system. You have your own energy supplies. They will win a Nobel Prize within 2 years.
Oh, I'm in big trouble here. 872-1010, 1-800-561, CFRB and Star Talk. If you can stay with the conversation and understand what we're talking about here. My guest on the line from New York City is a super spy, master spy, Bob Dobbs, the man who introduced Camilla Parker Bowles to Prince Charles, the man who is the man behind the scene. You have worked in a think tank capacity for many years now, have you not, Bob?
Yeah, for 40 years. The Thinker Council 10, which was the... to use a word that I know Nelson Thal used, we were the tetrad managers of the satellite environment. We allowed mixed corporate media and technology to interpenetrate and confuse the heck out of populations. I wasn't proud of doing that, but I worked my way up.
No, I can see you doing that, confusing. You know, no problem there, Bob.
That's right, and then now I'm trying to clarify the whole situation now that I have an autonomous position.
Well, let me just clarify something, Bob, from a bottom-up position. You talked earlier about living in the future.
Yes.
Now, there was a famous artist who once said that the artist is the only man who lives in the who can predict the future, because he's the only one who lives in the present. Everybody else is living back in the rearview mirror in the past. Today, now, the artist no longer can live in the present because things are moving so quickly, and because we have as many experiences in a day at electric speeds that compared to what medieval man, had. We live a year each day.
To and the so, point that the effects precede the causes.
Yeah, that's right. So the bottom up is that the effects precede the causes, and we live a year each day. We literally go through four seasons each day.
Yes.
So we're 1995.
Well, we had a pretty cold summer today. I don't mind telling you.
That's
all
right.
All four of those seasons were pretty darn nippy.
That's right. That's
nature's
one of the
obsolete quark environment, and it will get confused.
And that's in the physical environment. Right now, for instance, is a part of your mind that is not in your skull, John. It is out over this internet. The user is the content of the technology. So there's a part of all of us, as Desjardins says, we're both actively and passively everywhere on the planet.
There is a part of my
technology.
Mind that is screaming out, what the heck is he saying?
Okay.
Oh, that's your
poetry
private
communicates long before it is understood.
Let's
your private citadel of consciousness, John. There's a part of you that is eternally doubtful and does not get impinged by media. That's the part that's confused.
All right, Bob and Nelson, I'd like to hear from some callers this morning who actually will admit that they're not understanding what's being said here. Because I'm feeling kind of lonely. 872-1010, 1-800-561-CFRB and Star Talk. I'm John Heslink, and in the studio here we have Nelson Thal from the Marshall McLuhan Center for Media Studies, and in New York, somewhere in a secret hideaway, Bob Dobbs, master spy. The Night Side continues after a news update with Brent Coppin.
Hi, this is Emo Phillips, and you're listening to my favorite homeboy, John Heslink, on CFRB 1010, your home for Polka.
1232, yeah, that's what you think about when you think about me here at CFRB, the homeboy, John Heslink. This is the Night Side, and we are cooking with gas here. Are we allowed to cook with gas, Nelson? Is that an allowable commodity?
Yeah, fusion energy is the key.
Bob should get more into that. Now, on the line with us from New York is a super spy, Bob Dobbs, a man who's been in the think tank. I guess you've been in the think tank business for about 40 years, right?
Yeah, well, think tanks is the government by committee, and that's what you have to do on the solar theater level. Government
right.
by committee.
Absolutely. Whatever you say, Bob.
Well, the politicians are merely sacrificial lambs, and that's obvious to everybody now, and you can't even get anybody to be president.
Okay, the phone lines are open, and let's go to the phone lines and see what's happening out there. Jerry, good morning. Welcome to CFRB 1010.
Why, thank you very much. Hello, Bob. How you doing?
Is that CKLN?
This is your local spy. It's one of your...
Jerry.
Yeah.
You're on the air now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get the question happening.
What's your question,
here?
Jerry?
I'd really like to know, Bob, what you think the exits have been up to in the past year, if you think their identity has been revealed, and maybe you could tell a little bit about their past to the listeners of the radio station.
The exits are the extraterrestrials from the Booties Constellation who are making the crop circles. That's their main public demonstration.
I thought that was peanut butter cups.
No way.
No, they're definitely aliens.
Oh, okay.
Definitely aliens.
There's no abductions going on. Only three people have been abducted in the last 30 years, and that was done pleasantly. Everybody else is hallucinating under the effect of holopathic retrievals and computer satellite mixed corporate media confusion. But the point is, the Exis will communicate with us over the next 3 or 4 years. It's going to be a massive display, a surprising display. You heard it first here on CFRB.
Will they be communicating through? Yourself or other media?
No, their media.
Their media?
You're going to see an incredible spectacle, to quote the Debord.
Are we talking about sky writing of intergalactic proportions
That's
here?
That's right. And I want to have
alien graffiti.
And I'm putting it on record. I can't believe I actually said that.
I'm putting it on the record that they're from the Booties Constellation. B-O-O-T-E-S.
From the Booties Constellation.
Which is in the Herdsman Constellation.
That's right.
Yeah.
And are they here to help us or are they against us, Bob?
They are here to learn.
Personally, Jerry, I hope they're coming here to take you away. That's my personal feeling, though. My personal opinion.
No, they're here to learn from us. You see, they're intrigued by our dimension as much as they are. They're in the same physical world, but they evolved in a different pace than we did, and they're interested in what we do in our situation.
Are they good looking?
No.
Oh, great conflict. Jerry says no.
I think they are.
Bob says yes.
Well, the point is that they can assume any shape they want, so.
And in that case, I think they should all assume the shape of, I don't know, good-looking Danish people. I think Danish people have a very predominant look.
Yeah, Finnegan's awake.
Jerry, we got to move along here. You're going to get me in trouble.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. Okay, let's move along here to Barry. Barry, good morning. Welcome to CFRB 1010.
Yeah, good morning, John. Good morning, Nelson. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning, Barry.
Well, Bob, I've been doing some...
Good night, John Boy.
Hello?
I'm just saying good night to John Boy. I just got caught up in the moment. I'm sorry.
Bob, I've been doing some research on your Secret Council of Ten.
Good.
Dr. Peter Beter.
Yeah.
And
Peter. Can you imagine if you had a surname like Beter? You'd have the audacity to name your son Peter? Peter Beter?
Come on. Lebanese. There was a language problem. He was Lebanese.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm concerned about what's going on. I'd like to get your opinion on what's going on in France these days. And specifically in relationship to the book by the Spirit of the New Imperialism by The Conspiracy Against the Dollar by Peter Beter. And I've got my ticket, and I got my front row seat for this the big Armageddon show, and I'm just wondering when it's going to start.
It already happened. Dr. Beter and I were involved with the first strike in September 17th, 1982, as outlined in my book. The thing is that Dr. Beter's percepts do not apply after 1987, the year he died.
Ah, okay.
We're in a new situation.
Well, when do the bug bombs fly?
It already happened with the AIDS virus, but look at this. Look, we're looking at a new optimistic vision happening here.
Oh, yeah.
When fusion energy comes through, it will get us out of the problem of visual space or the money economy. The dollar does not have any afterlife. At that point, it has only an afterlife now. It's an afterimage. But the problem is that we're stuck between two worlds. We cannot get into the future and get free from visual space, which will give us electric autonomy. Fusion energy will satisfy the new situation of a frictionless society. No longer friction-based, and visual space and money comes out of a friction-based society dynamic, which we've had for 3,000 years.
Well, Bob, growing up absurd is a simple statement of the experience of living simultaneously in two cultures. The machine age had broken the senses apart, and circuitry does the reverse. Do you see this fusion? This is what's the ultimate end of circuitry?
The satellite prefigures the fusion, the solving of the merging of first and second nature. So that catch-22 situation you just talked about between the mechanical and the electric that we've been in a state of limbo in, that will be broken through with fusion energy, cold fusion as produced by Pons and Fleischmann.
I think it's important for the listeners to realize that, for instance, pointillism art form predicted television. Seurat and Rouault were painting television back in the 1880s. 50 years before the invention of television. Pointillism
right.
is an art form where you use little dots.
Little dots,
and
yeah.
People who, in the 1880s, who could perceive the effects and understand the grammars of that art form would be able to predict television. Now, likewise, today, using the same example, artists today look at the satellite, which is a fusion of both man's first and second nature.
That's
because
right.
It's an extension of man, but it's also an extension of the planet. And so the fusion of the two natures as an art form, what it's saying, the language and what it's saying to us is that fusion energy is over the horizon. And this is what Dobbs is getting at.
I'm starting to see little dots. Is that a bad sign?
That's a flashback.
Oxygen deprivation. No. Now, Barry, I want to thank you for the call.
Thank you.
You take care. Let's move along here. We got Jesse standing by. Jesse, good morning. Welcome to CFRB 1010.
Yeah, this is Tao at LGlobal.com.
Who?
Tao at LGlobal.com. It's email. You know,
it's email. Tao at LGlobal.com.
Okay.
Yeah, .com.
.com.
So, Bob,
of course.
Yes, you speak a lot
Where's
about...
Where's my mouse? Give me a mouse.
You speak a lot about this technological and media future, right, with, I guess, aliens, too. What role, I was wondering, does AT&T play in this future? American Telephone and Telegraph.
No role. All media disappeared in 1977. They were in the quark state at that point, and the satellite was the Matrix. As a matter of fact, the satellite you regard as a quark, and all media were the six descriptions of the characteristics of the quark. You know, top-down, bottom-up, strange, and charm. Those characteristics, all that aspect disappeared in 77. So AT&T disappeared a long time ago. Nelson, do you agree with this?
Do I agree with Bob's example?
Yeah.
Well, what I would say, it's not so much do I agree with it, but it's for the ordinary literate left hemisphere man who uses the visual sense to perceive. He's in the same boat of Louis Pasteur's confreres who threw him out of the medical profession for claiming that invisible bacteria was making his patients sick. Now, for instance, McLuhan perceived that there was likewise invisible effects of electric technology, and that there were other environments going on that were not visible to most people. So that when Bob says that this has disappeared, et cetera, et cetera, you've got to use a new form of understanding and perceiving. You can't let your preconceptions phase you out.
I find it difficult to believe that one of the largest corporations in the world could just disappear.
Well, what you have, it's not so much, it's not disappearing in the sense that, you, in the visual sense. For instance,
images. It disappears on the effect level.
On the effect level.
That environment, the telephone, has no effect on you. What, you know what has
but
effect
AT&T
on you?
Is
you
the
see,
telephone.
You're still
AT&T
using the visual. You're still using the visual sense.
Yeah, you know what the new environment of the past year was? Windows 95. In the chip economy, whatever the chip pattern is, it's imposed on the population through the computer situation, the environment. That is the new environment.
But who owns the networks that new environment travels on?
The military.
I do. AT&T
I am the only
owns
one
that
who
that
owns it.
AT&T owns the switching system.
No, I own it.
How did you...
You personally, Bob?
Yeah,
through killing many people. I took over.
Bob.
Bob owns AT&T.
Bob. Well, you're a sick individual, Bob.
Bob,
I think you need some help there, Bob.
No, you don't
understand. The environment that you people wallow in demands me to do these anticipations.
What kind of justification?
Bob, you own AT&T, why am I paying for this phone call to call you in New York City?
Yeah, we want a rebate.
I want a rebate. Jesse, I got to let you go because I can't understand what you're talking about for the most part. Thanks for the call anyway. Let's move along here. Edward, good morning.
Right.
Welcome to CFRB. Please, Edward, talk to me in English.
I promise.
Is it just me? Is it just me? Or are these guys right out to lunch?
No, they're not out to lunch. They're okay. They're actually...
Well,
they're very effective guys. You have to listen to them with the right way. Hi, Bob, it's Ed.
Yes, you got to listen to them with both fingers in your ears.
I remember you, Ed. You remember me. Okay, good. Just a couple of things before I ask you about fusion. Tell Connie that Milena, who's asleep right now, but she's channeling all of this in her unconscious state.
Oh, good. I'm glad we have channelers listening.
Well,
Okay,
just let me get this out of the way. Tell Connie that the medicine wheels she drew for her were made with her coloring pencils. And what was I going to ask? Okay, the event that's going to happen in 96 with the code breaker, is that any way at all... have to do with the coming fusion?
No.
Nothing to do with that?
No.
It's the internet is an environment that's almost disappeared, but it's still a structure within the larger structure, and fusion energy is not here as an environment yet.
Okay.
The problem is that when this person creates this thing that can crack all security and every level of the internet and diplomatic communication, it will be an earthquake, and they're going to have to reshape a lot of things, and that's what I meant, that Lady Di is King of England. We'll have to deal with that.
Bob, do you
okay,
see...
Bob, and I predict that. Okay, Bob, another question. It seems like we're really surrounded by a lot of pink still. And You know,
a lot of what?
A lot of people need, like, some math, homeopathy.
Oh, wait a second. Let's talk about pink spell for a second. That sounds insane.
We need some homeopathy on this show here. I mean, it's like everyone seems to need some math psychiatry. I think it's time you started treating them, Bob.
Well, I am.
I know, but they don't seem to be getting much better quicker or anything.
I've only been on the air for half an hour.
That's true, but we've actually been on the air a lot longer than that.
Well, Ed, when the separated or specialized senses are heavily overloaded, one tends to black out or go into trance, and so people are in a trance because they've been overloaded by have had so many novelties thrust their way that distraction by distraction from distraction is not perception. So they're in a trance, and so this is what
I know how they feel. Okay. I'm in a trance.
Can I just say one more thing? Nelson,
I saw this and called and wrote his book, Finnegan's Wake.
Bob needs to come on the air once a week.
You know, wait a second. Whoa. Bob, we could not possibly have Bob on the air once a week.
Oh, no. I think that we could possibly. We can't do it, though, Bob.
No. Tell me, have you got all your Christmas shopping done at this point, there, Edward? I just thought I'd interject a little sanity into this discussion.
Bob, I hope that you get on the air because I think that the world needs it. Very soon. You need to get on there at least once a week because half an hour once in a blue moon is just not going to cut it.
There's a small radio station in Pango Pango, and I understand they're looking for an afternoon traffic announcer. That could be very well you. Edward, I got to go. Thanks very much. Bob, you hang on. I'm John Hessling. The Night Side continues right here on CFRB as long as I still have my sanity.
Side with John Hessling continues after this timeout. Now back to the Night Side with John Hessling. This is the Night Side, and here's Johnny.
Me? My time to talk now? My brain is mush here, you know. I don't feel up to the task. I got to be honest with you. It's 12:49. Yeah, right, Brad. What else is new? 872-1010, 1-800-561-CFRB and start talk. In the studio with me, Nelson Thal from the Marshall McLuhan Center for Media Studies. And Bob Dobbs, who, basically, he is the top intelligence agent for the Council of Ten and, a master spy. He's on the line with us from New York City. Anything on the internet there, first of all, Nelson?
We had one question for Bob on the internet, and it had to do, Bob, with the situation with regard to this autopsy on these
aliens. Yeah.
People want to know what the situation is there, and if that's just
bogus or genuine.
What is that all about?
You mean the Santilli film?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, out of Roswell.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is almost true.
How is something almost true?
Here's the point. Roswell did have a crashed object from the booties and the apparatus that the DIA has and still has. The reason they couldn't announce it, the national security reason, was that they couldn't understand the technology, the debris from the flying object, and they didn't know if anybody else could figure it out, so they had to keep it secret. Purely military reason why they had to keep that information that it was crashed and that they had it for security reasons. Because maybe someone else on the planet from another country could have figured out what that technology was and used it.
So did we learn anything from that crashed object in Roswell back in 47?
No.
Nothing?
We just learned that we had to keep it shut. And I was part of that operation. But it was an actual thing, but the bodies are not the booties' bodies.
They're not booties' bodies.
No.
So the film is bogus.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go and grab another call here. We got, who's this, Deborah?
Yes, hi.
Deborah, good morning. Welcome to CFRB 1010.
Okay, I got a mundane question for Bob.
I'm welcoming it with open arms.
I think you must be. Bob, is Mulroney gone down?
It's gone down where?
He went to
the States.
Nah, is he going to take a fall or are we going to see him behind bars one day?
There is no Mulroney. He's at best a quirk. All right, remember that. There is no Mulroney, and you cannot solve any issue. The O.J. Simpson trial showed that. You cannot have a finish line. So Mulroney might go down for a while, then he'll be back. In other words, it's in something without a finish line. If I say he goes down and he does, and then he pops back, I'm held responsible. If I say he won't go down and then he does go down, you're forgetting that he's going to come back.
Bob, what technology...
There is no issue, no content there.
What technology has created that as an issue?
The CD-ROM,
internet. Is that the hologram effect?
Remember, the internet came in, was released in 1980, all right?
Yep.
The internet was an environment of the 70s.
Yep.
If you want to understand my charts on my album, then you look at the internet as the ground from 1977 to 1990. That's why it was given up to the people. It's an obsolete environment. But for John Heslink and Deb and Eddie and Ira Gluskin, these people, the internet is a strong constitutive force on them because they still live within it in terms of their perception of it.
Bob, one way of explaining how these corporations disappear, would the hologram effect be a good example of it, a good icon, a good metaphor of it, that there are images there but nothing behind it?
Yeah, what is a hologram? It's the ability to see in all directions at once. Not just hear in all directions, but to see in all directions. And that's what the satellite environment created, the ability to see in all directions as far as the Earth was concerned. So we've been in a hologramic environment for a long time. What's happened is the hologramic environment disappeared in 77, and we've had tiny retrievals of holograms with homeopathic intensity. In other words, the smaller the hologram is, the more potent it is. So
Deborah,
we're talking a quark environment.
Deborah, did you get an answer?
Yeah, I got another question.
Go ahead, very quickly.
Okay, Deb?
Yeah.
I'd say, let's say Maroney goes down.
Okay. Bob, how's fusion going to affect the hardware world of our bodies and pharmaceutical herbal grabs and genetic engineering?
It will allow you to live in the country in any environment you want to live in, so probably people will go back to growing gardens and ransacking the Amazon for herbs and develop a natural view of medicine, even though I predict I have a lab developing a new technology that obsolesces acupuncture.
Deborah, when you started off, I thought you were one of us, but I got to say it, Deborah, you're one of them.
Well, probably.
Thanks for the call.
Anyway, everybody be healthier, Deb.
We're all one of them.
Okay. I hope we're not all one of them. Tim, good morning. Welcome to CFRB. A little sanity, if you please, Tim.
Okay, well, I won't get into bogus booties, bobbies, baby.
No.
I couldn't help but notice Bob's presence in Quebec last month, and I haven't seen Casino recently, where they're kind of talking about the death of currency as we know it. Are you going to be whacking any more committees, Bob?
Whacking any who?
More committees. Are you whacking any more committees?
No, there's no committees left.
That's what I thought. So what about this little rumor about you conducting posthumous interviews? Is this true?
Yes, the Flipside magazine will be releasing an interview I set up with the late Frank Zappa. It was done by Bob Marshall, who did the famous first interview with Frank Zappa.
I wish I had Frank on the show tonight.
Well,
you can play the tape of the interview.
Tim, now hang in there for a second, Tim. Sure. You were going to ask a Quebec question, were you not?
Well, I was going to ask...
I had high hopes for you, Tim.
Okay, then. Quebec will separate in 36 months.
That's what I thought.
It's going down and it's leaving in 3 months. That's in 3 years. That's
Tim,
for me.
I got to move along. I got a boogie here. Thanks for the call. Let's move along. Ali, good morning. Welcome to CFRB.
Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning.
My question is what is his name?
That's Bob and Bob. Nelson Thal.
My question is, what's going on in East of Djibouti, a country called Djibouti in East Africa, between the two ethnic major ethnic groups, which is Afar and Isa?
Boy, that's a real obscure question. An East African question there for you, Bob.
Can you translate it?
What's going on east of Djibouti?
Shake your booty.
Ali, I think you've stumped him. I wish I had a prize to give you. Maybe
answered.
I can give
shake
you Brad Matson's car.
I got a stump. I said, shake your booty.
What does that mean?
That's a Frank Zappa album. Came out in 1979 with a picture of an Arab on the cover.
Ali, that means basically they don't know.
Okay.
I want to thank you very much for the call. Let's move along here.
B-O-U-T-I.
George, good morning. Welcome to CFRB 1010. Come on.
Hi, how's it going, Bob?
Let's stump the eggheads.
Well, okay, hey, Bob.
Yeah, it's Humpty Dumpty here.
Yes, what I want to know is, was the Oklahoma bombing a rogue CIA operation?
No, it was done by whatever his name is, the one they have in jail. And you know how it was done, even though the fertilizer statistically can't do that?
Because
it was in an enclosed environment, the ricochet effect knocked that whole wall down more than people imagined the fertilizer bomb could do. But it was
the design of the bomb was rigged up in such a way that it was like mining, and I was wondering if there was any Quebec connection regards to that.
No, it was only those two guys that are under suspicion, and there is a distant Middle East connection.
I was wondering if you've also heard that there was also maybe a possible alien autopsy or aliens being stored within that area, and that was a reason because of the bombing?
No. It was just pure identity crisis by certain Americans.
Certain Americans.
There you go, George. Thanks for the call, George. Let's move along here to Peter. Peter, good morning. Welcome to CFRB 1010. You've got the last question.
Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Morning.
My question is, what's the meaning of the Mayan calendar on a society at the moment?
Well,
you're making this up, aren't you, Peter?
No, that's true. The Mayan prophecy, which is really a Mayan report, in 950 A.D., they figured out through their contact with the Bodhi civilizations, a brief
right.
contact, that on July 11, 1991, there would be a huge UFO sighting, and that happened over Mexico City 4 years ago. And it's covered heavily in the Mexico press, but not in the United States. So the Mayan prediction was accurate, but it had nothing to do with Terrence McKenna's everything disappearing in the year 2012.
Okay, let's move along. We'll take one more question before we wrap it up here. This is Ray. Ray, this is it. You've got the last word.
Hi, John.
Hi, Ray.
Well, our friend Bob said that Quebec was going to separate in 3 years, so therefore is there going to be a civil war between Canada and Quebec?
No
civil war.
Everybody will be happy.
How about
everybody
a non-civil war?
Huh?
How about a non-civil war?
A non-civil war.
No, I can't see us fighting because the war would cost major dollars, and we're already so far in debt right now.
Yeah, but war is money.
That's right. But the real war is icon warfare. They have to separate. That's their act of war, to separate.
Ah, so us Canadians that don't like the idea are just going to sit on our hands and twiddle our thumbs.
Yeah, you can't do anything about it anyway.
At the very least. Ray, thanks for the call.
Okay.
Bob, we're going to have to do this again. I'm not really sure why, but the phones have been going crazy for the past hour, and it's been very interesting, to say the least.
Well, thanks for having me on, John.
Okay, Bob Dobbs, Master Spy in New York City. Nelson Thal from the Marshall McLuhan Center for Media Studies. I want to thank you for dropping by as well.
Parting word?
Very quickly.
When the technological arts swamp perception, the job of the artist enables us to adapt to the world we live in. So keep listening.
Bob, we'll be talking to you.
Thank you.
Okay, Nelson, thanks for dropping
by. Thanks, John.
Nelson now logging off on the internet. When we come back, hey, clairvoyants, we've got them here to help you find long-lost loved ones just in time for the holidays. Barbara Quinnell will be my guest as the Nightside continues on CFRB 1010.
It's the Nightside with John Heflin.
Okay, we are changing gears here. 12:32, almost 12:33. Phone lines, we're going to open them up right out of the chute. 872-1010, 1-800-561-CFRB, and Star Talk, because on the line with me right now, Master Spy himself, Bob Dobbs. Bob, are you there?
Yes, good morning, John.
Now, Bob, are we allowed to say where you're phoning from this morning?
Singapore.
So the bloodhounds are still out after you.
They've always been and will continue for the next 30 years.
Wow, Bob. You're always looking over your shoulder. I mean, you spent many years as being the master spy for the Council of Ten and the Club of Isles, and you're actually the man who introduced Camilla Parker Bowles to Prince Charles, so you basically started that whole kerfuffle.
Yes.
That's your fault. We're blaming you, Bob.
That's all right.
And joining me here in the studio is Nelson Thal from the Marshall McLuhan Center for Media Studies, basically to translate whatever you are saying into somewhat, I guess, homogenous English.
Yeah. Now, I think he has a CD. Let's play a little excerpt.
We got a CD standing by here, do we?
We've got a CD cut.
And we have a CD cut, okay, and our technical producer, Eric Keith Walter, has the CD all queued up. So we're going to hear a few minutes of this and then come back and talk to you, are we?
Yeah, this is about Bob's Media College.
So is it going to make sense? Is this CD actually going to make sense?
Yes.
Okay, let her roll.
Bob's Media Ecology works on four levels. On the first level, the most complex, the formal level, it's programming our sensing environments. For example, we programmed visual space for 300 years under printing press conditions. Mm-hmm. Then we brought in acoustic space retrieval with radio, and then tactile space with television. So, and that's tactility, television. So you're working with the tactile sensory environment.
Okay, that's number one.
That's the first level, the most general sensory programming of the population. The second level of Bob's Media Ecology is controlling basically advertising. But we call it advertising and programming, or advertising and then the show or the information. But from the perspective of the first level, they merge. But on the second level, Bob's Media Ecology, it's programming media content, mm-hmm. which is usually a previous environment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'll say about that level. The third level is bureaucratic media ecology, which largely consists of Big Brother work. what Orwell tried to whistleblow on with 1984. That is basically assassinations, political smear jobs, framings, sort of battles behind the scenes.
Now we're getting interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's the third level of programming. And then the fourth level is what I'm an expert at, is collective clairvoyance. And that is the sum of the first three levels that are creating a synergistic effect, greater than the sum of the parts, that is the result, day in, day out, of what all these various levels of programming contribute to.
Okay, so what your
fourth level is the final level.
And when you say clairvoyance, does that mean that through nothing else other than the activity of the mind, you can direct all of these three levels to one point of interest, to one aim, one collective goal?
Well, if you think of mind as inside your skull, then you're limiting. That's a Western cultural percept. ESP is gesture as well. Mm-hmm. It's actually using all your faculties so that tactility, comprehensive tactility, would be complex clairvoyance. And this is the effect of crowds and individuals intermingling. I guess the best images of that are fractals.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be an approximation.
That's a computer-generated image that has a kind of infinity to it.
Yeah, the same order keeps appearing while there's amazing detail.
Yeah.
Variety. So that is an approximate visual image in motion of the sum total of history and evolution.
Yeah, but we're distracted more, I think, by the third level than by anything.
Okay, now, Bob, that is you chatting there with, I don't know, who are you chatting with there in the CBC?
That's Brent Bambury, CBC, April 30th, 1992.
Okay, so you talked there for about 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Basically, I didn't understand a whole lot of it. What were you saying in simple layman's terms?
Well, I was explaining how one... in my position on the Secret Council of Ten, how I implement conspiracies. In other words, how I implement control or how I implement conditioning. And the four levels were just by bringing in a movie environment, as we did in the early part of the 20th century. We create a hyper-kinetic space for the population. They get duped by the sensory extension of kinetic space.
Now, when we think of conspiracies, Bob... And, I mean, there you are this morning sitting in Singapore, all comfy, and you're not in any immediate danger.
No.
Nelson and I, we are sitting here in Toronto where it's, by the way, -7 degrees. And we are wondering, conspiracies, that seems to be a word out of the 60s and maybe even the 70s. Do they still exist in the 90s?
Okay, first of all, conspiracy is also associated with World War II and the Nazi regime in the 30s, right?
To a certain extent, yes.
Yes. So in the 90s, actually since 1945, but since the 70s, information about conspiracies is the most important, the most dangerous, and the most avoided information in our time. And the reason is that because all the electric environments, the computers, the satellites, the television, the telegraph, the teletype, all this imploding electronic information forces people to rely on one person to make decisions, because the buck is always passed, because we really can't get a sense on the sequentiality when we're surrounded by a simultaneous environment. So we pass the buck. So that means someone in the end is going to make a decision. Usually it's called intelligence agencies. Now, from the population's point of view, especially in those parts of the industrialized world where they pretend to have democracies and may have democracies, the idea of one person imposing their view, like his interpretation of the grand patterns, like an executive fiat on the population, seems to be undemocratic. So that is considered a conspiracy, because the authority is not representing the will of the people. That's the myth, anyway.
Bob, is an example of how conspiracies are ignored is with the JFK movie of Stones, where he's trying to put across a part of history which we experience but miss the meaning of, and yet even though it's out there now, we ignore it?
Yeah, the important thing about Stone's movie is that he picked the medium of the movie, which is a meaningful medium, an archetypal medium for the American population. There's over 1,000 books on the JFK assassination. His movie resulted in another 100, say. But at least 800 before his movie came out, and not one of them had a dramatic effect. The point is, the book is not an important medium. When Stone put the conspiracy idea within the movie medium, the American conditioned kinetic space archetype, then it shook the place up and brought in legislation. Well, the important point is the medium he chose.
What are some of the people who are following conspiracies today? What are the interesting recent ones? I mean, do you want to talk about the Oklahoma bombing in Skolnick?
Well, an interesting one that Lynn LaRouche has come up with, a theory, is that the fondo, the moneyed interest behind the royal family, which goes back centuries, and the royal family per se, they just get to share, sort of live the privileged life, but the money situation goes on in the investment. The theory LaRouche is presenting is that the people who control the royal family are creating scandals around the family because they want to move the monarchical base in England out into a global situation. They don't want to be a...
Do you think, Bob, do you think there's actually a conspiracy afoot somewhere to shake the monarchy loose?
Yeah, I'm LaRouche, that's not what I think, but I've just said, Nels is asking, what's the latest theory? LaRouche proposes that they're going to shake out the royal family and move the oligarchic funds, the fondo, that's the technical term, out to operate globally.
Why are we all surrounded now by these theories of conspiracies, whereas the impression is that in the past we weren't surrounded? Is it merely the electric surround and the Niagara Falls of data that creates this illusion?
Well, that's what I was trying to say. Yes, who's going to pull the levers in the end? The fact that when we're discarnate, and we all are, we float in and through each other. And we float through and in each other through the electric media. So in that sea of... a kind of a ghostly environment, almost like Hades, hell, we're looking who runs the place. Now, someone has to run the place and make decisions in programming the environment, as I outlined in that opening quote. And so there is a conspiracy. There is an imposition by one person. Some people might say it's the beast, or they might say it's the Antichrist. It actually is me. But the thing is that I took the responsibility because everybody disappeared into this dreamland.
Bob, let me ask you a question. Now, if there's something that we have to watch out for, I mean, you've had dealings with organizations like, for example, the CIA, right?
Yep.
The CIA, will we safely say that their day has passed?
Yes, they've moved into the realm of entertainment.
Well, not only that, I think it's important for our listeners to understand that the minute the organization becomes publicly known... the action must move elsewhere.
Yes.
And, for instance, the organization, the minute it's known, it's then turned into a bureaucracy.
Now, what's interesting, Nelson, is that there's nowhere else to move when we're all floating in and through each other. All right? So that's what the Secret Council 10 is. It orchestrates solar theater. That's what I do. I'm off the planet. I'm operating from a position off the stage.
Now, Bob, there are many people that would agree that you are definitely off the planet. I'm going to open the phone lines here, and let's see if we can get some of our callers to challenge you. 872-1010, 1-800-561-CFRB, and Star Talk. If you're understanding what Bob Dobbs is talking about, and I'm not putting myself in that number, give us a call, 872-1010, 1-800-561-CFRB, and Star Talk. Bob, the question to you right now, then, if there's one thing that we have to stand on guard for and watch out for, what is that in the next couple of years?
Me.
You. You're the bad guy. And here I am freely putting you on the air. Maybe I should be chastised.
Yes, not that I'm a bad guy. It's just I'm the programmer. And so you better pray that I make the right decision.
Well, you're the man on the spot. Now,
that's
Angleton
right.
Worked for you.
James Jesus Angleton, yes.
And Norman Holmes Pearson didn't work for you, but studied under you.
Yes.
Who was the father of American counterintelligence. Maybe you could run through an inventory of some of the conspiracies and some of the programming. Another good name for conspiracies, by the way, is programming. And that's what and I think one of the things Bob is trying to say is that the computer has made us aware of programming the environment, and the programming of the environment is just another name for conspiracy.
You know, I'm starting to get the feeling, listening to Nelson and Bob here, that the world, the universe as I know it, doesn't really exist. There are no corporations, there are no individuals, there are no unions, there are no rights. But somewhere, there is somebody in a back room pulling the levers and making all of us dance sort of like marionettes.
That's exactly right. Now, here's the point why there's no unions. There are no categories. Unions merge with pension funds. Pension funds merge with governments, which merge with corporations. You cannot make a dividing line in that seamless web. So there are no nouns, just floating verbs.
Everything's basically disappeared.
Now, that's the most advanced fact.
Yeah, but there are unions. There are still unions. That is a fact.
The after image, I think, right?
No, the union is an image in a newspaper or on the news. It's a public relations gimmick. The point is that the security and the sense of feeling and solidarity in union doesn't exist. It only exists through the press releases.
Okay, so, all right, fine. Let's take it now. Let's go back. Because we're dealing with complex clairvoyance events here, and we're dealing with invisible
changes. Oh, you're losing me.
Well,
unions exist at a different level than news releases. I mean, my God, you've got thousands, hundreds of thousands of people paying union dues. It exists at a dollars and cents level at that point.
That's the hobby. The hobby is to go to work. In this situation where in the solo theater where everything's flipped, your work is your hobby and your hobby is your work. People do their most work when they process the information environment. They do that daily. That is the main action. The information world, AT&T, are more involved in creating an experience than anything that people do in their jobs. That's why people drop out.
Bob, do you and Nelson actually get invited to, like, you know, parties? I'm just curious.
Well, I give a lot of parties myself. I tape a lot of people at them, too.
Hey, I would love to go to one of your parties, Bob. I would love to, without a tape recorder, just me, just to experience the actual fact of a party at Bob Dobbs.
Bob,
well,
let's get...
If you keep me on the radio, maybe you will.
Bob, James Angleton said that the twin of poetry was espionage, and the twin of espionage was poetry. There was a real link between them. As I mentioned earlier, Norman Holmes Pearson, the father of American counterintelligence, was also a poet.
Yes.
Many of the top people in the intelligence agencies came from the field of English literature. Does this explain why many of the people who work with you have a penchant for wanting to back channel like this to people who are interested in knowing, even though the information you have is top secret?
Well, poetry is software and hockey is hardware. They're both within the software environment of electric information. But poetry tends toward large patterns. And to deal with the Secret Council 10 level, you have to think and perceive in large patterns. That's why we use poetry. The main text we have used over the last 40, 50 years, which is a crowning achievement of poetry, is Finnegan's Wake. Now, most people can't even conceive of how to perceive Finnegan's Wake. But within it, there's a code to how to govern this situation. So poetry as an exercise in perception is how we use it.
Bob, let's grab a couple of phone calls here, shall we? The phone lines are open at 872-1010, 1-800-561-CFRB and StarTalk. Master Spy, Bob Dobbs, on the line with us from Singapore this morning. Richard, good morning. You're on CFRB 1010. We just lost our Master Spy. We've had a problem here with the phone lines. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick pause. We're going to try to reestablish contact with Singapore. And the night side will continue right here on CFRB 1010.
Now back to the night side with John Heslin.
12:50 and we are back. Technical problems notwithstanding, we have reestablished contact with Singapore. Bob Dobbs is our guy, master spy for the Council of Ten for many years, and also the guy who introduced Camilla Parker Bowles to Prince Charles, so he's responsible for that whole thing. Also in the studio here with me in Toronto, Nelson Thal from the Marshall McLuhan Center for Media Studies. And we are dealing with questions dealing with conspiracies. We were just about to go to Richard. Richard, you're on the air. Good evening. Welcome to CFRB 1010.
Yes, good evening. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I have two questions, actually, for your guest.
Go ahead.
What does he know anything about the killing of Malcolm X? And was there any type of conspiracy behind that? And also, what does he know anything about the World Bank and the IMF?
Yes, I know a lot about those things. Now, let me tell you something. As I said, conspiracy information is the most dangerous information today. If I told you who killed Malcolm X, John will be in trouble, the station will be in trouble, and I would be in trouble. So, are you willing to protect me?
Well, you're
the caller.
Well, how about a hint?
Well, of course there was a conspiracy there. And, you know, recent literature is pretty accurate.
I see.
Right? You got that new book?
Which one? The FBI files?
Stephen somebody on the Martin Luther King assassination.
No, I'm talking about Malcolm X.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, the recent book on Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty accurate.
I see. Which book is this?
I can't remember. I think his first name is Stephen, the author. It's the one that came out about a year ago.
Is that the FBI file? The one?
Yeah.
I see.
Now, the thing is that it's as close as you can understand it in categories, but who really pulled the trigger and what happened, you'll never know. You will never know.
Yeah, but do you know, Bob?
Yes. Because I
and who else knows?
Big pardon?
Who else knows, Bob?
What?
Bob, who else knows besides you?
The people who were involved, like I was. I was involved in the cover-up of that assassination.
Now, why is that in the best interest of anybody, to cover up an assassination?
Well, I wasn't in the... because we don't want the people I was working for didn't want to be caught.
Well, obviously, but what about the people at large? I mean, you are coming on the air here. You're talking to us as, you know, Bob Dobbs, all-around good guy.
No, and, I didn't say I'm a good guy.
So you're a bad guy.
I'm just saying that I'm a Tetrad manager, and I have to deal with the environment you created through our history of technological evolution.
But, Bob, following that train of thought there, Richard and I are just asking a question here. Does that make me a bad guy because I'm putting you on the air?
No, because I can't create any information in terms of who killed what. I'm not going to tell you who did what, so you're not a threat. So we can now talk about larger patterns, which is not as dangerous.
Yeah, but it's also...
So what about the IMF and World Bank?
Well, they don't exist anymore other than as legacies of visual space, which is money and gold. Now, you have people being actors. The global theater has room for millions of manager actors, role players. Role players who are acting on the global theater to distract you and provide content for the media.
So who are they working on behalf of?
Well, since everything largely has disappeared, they're working for me. But I'm the only one left, and I'm trying to resuscitate you.
They're working for you,
right? In the sense that they are distracting you from what I'm doing.
What are you doing?
I'm bringing in fusion on many levels, including cold fusion that Fleischmann and Pons are going to bring in that are going to free you from Toronto.
Now, how do we know that they're actually going to do this? They've been talking about this for years and years, but talk is cheap.
There's over 600 labs around the world who have proven the experiment, but you will not be told this in North America because that's the oil center. The thing is that they are they have confirmed their experiments themselves in France right now. They will win the Nobel Prize within 2 years.
Bob, trust me on this. If somebody somewhere comes up with a method of powering an entire city for 12 cents a month, we're going to find out about it.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
I think one thing, John, I want to say about this is that the categories good guys, bad guys becomes very, very difficult to recognize when you think about the fact that Saddam Hussein was a good guy when we were at war with Iraq and they took our hostages. But then all of a sudden, after a few years, he became a bad guy. And so bad guy, good guy, once again, are categories.
You've got
and in order to understand...
Now, let me interrupt you.
Let me just...
Brief. You've got to think in terms of quantum physics. Everybody is at least a quark, and we're approximating X particles, which are hypothetical and only appear when you have radioactive decay. We and the media are all on the level of subatomic physics, and you can't categorize them with as good or bad because virtual particles themselves pop in and pop out. They don't even exist very long. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah. But I'm on Richard's side here. Richard asked a question about Malcolm X. I don't think the question's been answered. Richard, do you feel like you got an answer to your question?
He wants to know if there was conspiracy. Of course there was. He wants to know who did it. I did it. I was involved in the cover-up. I didn't pull the trigger. But I cannot name names because those after-images will come after the station.
He's a criminal, Richard, and that's why he's in Singapore this morning.
That's right.
Richard, thanks very much for the call, bud.
Okay.
Take care. Sure. Moving right along here, we got George standing by. George, good morning. Welcome to CFRB 1010.
Hi, good evening, John.
Good evening.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Who's
the name of the spy in Singapore?
That would be Bob Dobbs.
You sure his first name wasn't Truly Ted?
Truly Ted?
Yeah, is his real name Ted?
Who?
Your name, Bob.
No, it's Bob.
Oh. It was never Ted, eh?
No.
Oh, you
where'd
sound
you
like
get
somebody
that
I talked to 10 years ago, that's why.
Where'd you talk to him?
Somewhere in Canada.
Well, have you got an interesting question? We want to move.
Yeah, I do, actually. Who's behind the right-wing conspiracy in North America?
The computer environment. The computer environment hoists up electric individual autonomy. And so you move into individualistic Leibnizian monadic values. The monad, the individual, you float around the planet. You are essentially a right-winger when you have the computer satellite environment. And when you move out of the tribal effect of TV, which was before the computer and the satellite, you move into individual narcissism.
All right, all
right. That's right-wing values.
All right, now, Bob, let Nelson translate that.
Okay.
What was he saying?
What he's saying is that we're all part of the problem, and we can all be part of the solution. What he's saying is that the culture gets influenced and shaped and molded by the technologies that we employ, that our sensory portfolios and the way we think of each other and the way we act is changed and adjusted by the tools that we use in order to communicate with each other. And what he's saying basically is the top-down conspiracy plays catch-up to the bottom-up.
The bottom-up is the technological environment.
The bottom-up is the technological.
Really don't know.
You know, the next time we do this, we have to have a translator for our translator.
Well,
I'm starting to understand bits and pieces, and I'm thinking maybe, Bob, that this is probably the scariest thing of all.
Yeah, that's right. It will frighten you, John.
Yeah.
That's you're getting to perceive the present.
Now, George, did you get anything out of that?
Well, yes, I did. It seems to me that this person doesn't know what he's talking about.
That's very scary to me,
because
George.
Because I sort of have a pretty good clue what's behind a lot of the politics in the movement. And
okay, give me a clue.
Go ahead.
Well, it's not actually a few individuals, but it is a few groups of people who are having fun experimenting, and it's just grown from that.
Can you name them?
Why should I name them for you?
All right, well,
you
what
don't
kind
want to
of people? Laboratory scientists?
Huh?
Are they scientists? Well, who do you mean?
They're not scientists. They're basically backroom politicians who have a great time doing stuff like this.
Are they working with...
it's not a great conspiracy, as we'll put it that way. It's just basically a movement of minds, and the public eats it up. And it is through the media, of course.
Why does the public eat it up?
Well, because they tend to be fooled at times.
Why would they want to be fooled?
They don't want to be fooled, but they can be fooled. You know, advertising works, and so does the media.
George, I think I'm being fooled. I want to thank you very much for the call, though,
no
buddy.
No problem, guys.
Take care. 12:59, and this is The Night Side. We are on the line here to Singapore this morning with Bob Dobbs, a master spy, well, for the Council of Ten. He's our guest, and also in the studio here, Nelson Thal from the Marshall McLuhan Center for Media Studies. I'm John Heslink. The Night Side continues right here on CFRB 1010.
In your life misbehaves, what he might need is a good spanking.
Hello?
When next we go to the phones, you'll meet the authors of the book Give Your Man a Helping Hand.
Hello, hello, hello.
Stop that.
The Mots 1 to 4 from News Talk Radio, CFRB 1010.
And we are back on The Night Side at CFRB 1010. The phone lines are all open, and in the studio with me and Nelson Thal from the Marshall McLuhan Center for Media Studies in Singapore, Bob Dobbs, master spy for the Council of Ten, and we're talking about conspiracies this morning. To listen to you talk, Bob, I'm kind of convinced myself now that conspiracies exist at every level, at every turn, that nothing just happens by happenstance. There's no such thing as coincidence.
Well, think of the meaning of conspire comes from the word to breathe together. And when you study your breathing, you can't tell whether you're continuing to breathe or it's breathing automatically. It is going automatically, but if you start thinking about it, you can control it. So it is an ambiguous situation. So to breathe together is to conspire.
Okay.
So that's the ambiguity of conspiracy. The point is that we make a reality, and we have a reality that's imposed on us. The thing is, we have become so inflated that we can impose our situation on all kinds of people.
Well, the way I like to describe it is that when you live under electric conditions at the speed of light, reality loses its hardware quality, John.
And I'm losing my hardware quality doing this segment. Trust me on this. The phone lines are open at 872-1010. Bob, we're going to take another call here before I completely lose my sanity.
Good.
Bill, good morning. You're on CFRB 1010. Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Yeah, you're on the air. Go for it.
Hi, Bob. Actually, that's not my real name. It's Henry. I'm in the Indian Ocean right now in my submarine. We met once in my subterranean lair, and I want to tell you that you did a good job. But the John Lennon assassination, with no one really addressed too much, and I know you're aware of it.
Bill, if you don't jump back into reality real soon, you're gone.
That's the reality,
well,
Bob.
Okay. Well, That's okay. Bob, you were involved with the making of the Beatles and the testing of the Beatles as a major military operation, were you not?
Yes, it was very important to bring the Beatles to America as soon as possible after the assassination of JFK, because the population was, you know, incredibly depressed, and therefore they were susceptible to a manic release. And we can make a lot of money since the record industry was a great profit maker. The young market put a lot of money into the economy, and we also could distract everybody from the progenitors of the JFK assassination, and also we could alter a paradigm shift in values, because we wanted people to get isolated and then be able to move around a global economy and lose their community and family values. So the Beatles were the reason for that.
Caller, I can tell you that Marshall McLuhan told John Lennon as to how the Beatles had been created as a major military operation to distract the attention of the young off the war in Vietnam, and it was when Lennon met McLuhan that was the last time he changed his whole album. He went from Sergeant Pepper's, if you recall, Lucy in the Sky of Diamonds, turning everybody onto sex, rock and roll, drugs, to the White Album, which was a complete turnaround when Lennon decided he was going to try and update consciousness now and not be used. And that's when he did the White Album. And you remember the image of the raccoon, Rocky Raccoon, the bandit, the man who wears the mask, who hides behind the scenes.
So was that his downfall?
And if you recall, he said, back in the U.S., back in the U.S., back in the USSR. And, of course, what he was trying to say was, if you think the mind control is heavy in the Soviet Union, boys, you ought to see it here in America. So there's a... You can now ask Dobbs about what that whole thing was going on there.
Yeah, first of all, John Lennon was not a victim of conspiracy. It was done by Mark and him alone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, so all those people exchanging guns out in Georgia and everything, that was just to throw a cover off to make it look like a conspiracy, alone not getting people to make it look like a conspiracy, to take the hideaway that it was just him working alone.
Right. The Reagan presidency that came in a month or two later was able to create a sense of paranoia by creating information that supported the paranoid view and the conspiracy view. Reagan then were intending to create a paranoid environment. So that's why they distorted the impression of the Lennon murder.
But wasn't Mark David Chapman and Hinckley both working for the YMCA, a recruiting office, for the CIA to take out Reagan and Lennon at the same time to bring in the Bush administration?
That's what you heard through the information networks you have.
So is that wrong?
Yes.
Oh.
Bill, I want to thank you very much for the call.
Okay,
got to move along here, bud.
Okay, bye.
Okay, let's move along here to Marion. She's been waiting for a while. Marion, good morning. Welcome to CFRB.
I better shoot fast. This is costing CFRB $12 a minute. I missed $12 a minute. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
I wanted to ask you, like, you know, we have a national deficit, $100 billion, and interest escalating here in Canada.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the Queen has enough jewels to help us out with either a donation or a loan.
Yes, if you follow her rules.
Ah, and what might that be?
Give up your national sovereignty and merge with the eco-fascist situation of a global campus surrounded by a wonderful natural wilderness, preserving the species.
Is that in the form of a donation or a loan?
What?
The money that the Queen would be giving or loaning us.
Well, she has no money to give you. She just will acknowledge you, and she'll give you some information credits, which translates economically. She'll help the Reichmans get back on their feet again. But it is not money. It's not a loan. It's just acknowledgement. Otherwise, you're dispossessed. If you're not, all those countries that don't follow these new rules will be dispossessed. They will disappear.
You know, Bob, an interesting fact surfaced the other day when I was talking with some accountants. You know, there is one category and one category alone that is 100% tax deductible in Canada. There's one thing and one thing only that is 100% tax deductible. Would you care to take a guess as what that is?
Electricity itself.
No. There is one thing and one thing only that you can spend money on every year, and it is 100% tax deductible in this country, and it is only one category. Nelson, Nelson, you have any idea?
I don't have any idea.
I'm not in.
How about you, Marion?
No, I'm not. No. Unless it's a
political donation.
Control device.
Not a political donation, but a gift to the Queen is the only thing that is 100% tax deductible. Absolutely.
That's an electric
fact. We need a gift from her.
Well, I don't know if she's ready to give me a gift, you know.
The Queen has immunity. Understand, the Queen has immunity because she represents the real economic power.
Okay.
Well, Bob, the Queen, all of us have to buy audiences, but she gives audiences. What about you?
I do everything. Because I have to imitate what you guys are living in, which is a flowing in and out of each other. And I have to mime that to keep my complex clarity.
I'm really having a lot of trouble with that, Bob, the flowing in and out of each other. You
okay,
know?
But right now you're in Singapore.
No, you're in Singapore.
But you are. Your voice is here.
My voice is there, okay.
All right.
We're making decisions there.
Right, and I can act on things you say, so you can kinetically, psychokinetically move around in this room by asking me to follow your orders. On top of that, all the listeners are, and this is going around the whole planet.
Tell the Queen we love her and we need her.
Listen, so we got everybody's in Singapore, but also we're all in Toronto, and we're all wherever other electric transistors are picking this up. We have no dimension here.
Marion, if you run into the Queen, will you tell her to call in, please?
I'll do that.
Thanks very much.
All right.
Okay. 872-1010-1800-561-CFRB and Star Talk. On the air with Bob Dobbs. He's in Singapore this morning. Bob Dobbs, the master spy for the Council of Ten, and we're trying to make sense out of the conspiracies and the conspiracy theories. Let's go to Sheila. She's been waiting for a while. Sheila, good morning. Welcome to CFRB 1010.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to know if there's a UFO cover-up.
There certainly is, but there's been no abductees. There's only been four people abducted in the last 40 years. Two of them were Barney Hill, and they were accurate because their description of what they were, what they remembered from it, was of a change in the star map, which became available, visible another 10 or 15 years later.
What do you mean two of them were Barney Hill? They grabbed Barney Hill twice?
No, Barney and his wife.
Oh, and his wife. Okay.
Yeah. And there's another two other people who have not told anybody. Now, there are
tell anybody. How do you know, Bob?
Because I've been in touch with them, and I've played interviews with them on the radio in the old days. I call them the X's.
You know, Bob, if the UFOs come here and they ask me who they should grab first, I'm kind of inclined to tell them you.
Well, I've already been involved with them, and it is a question whether I've got them or they got me. But let me tell you what is very interesting and true. They're from Booties, and they're making the crop circles around the world. The crop circles are their communication to us at this point.
I thought that was peanut butter cups.
No, that's nonsense, John. Check it out.
Booties meaning the Booties constellation, you're saying?
Yeah, they're from the Booties constellation.
Okay.
And that's exclusive. It's not the Pleiadians. You will find out over the next
few I've heard about
that
the Pleiadians.
They are from the Booties, and CFRB can brag about it.
I have heard about the Pleiadians. So what's the scam behind the Pleiadians?
They exist, but they're not interacting. You see, the Booties have been assigned to be the ambassadors because of the very ecological sensitive moment when we are introduced into this other intergalactic situation. And it's done very carefully. They don't abduct us. You know who does the cattle mutilations? Another inferior civilization who are running around running amok, and the Booties let them do that, but it's not a big problem. They're just investigating the cattle from their own point of view. That's from another civilization. The most important and significant is with the Booties, who are far more advanced than the ones who do the cattle mutilations. But the Pleiadians, they exist, but they're not interacting with us at this point. Most sightings we're seeing, and many people are seeing, are Booties vehicles.
Now, Bob, here's a question that's just begging to be answered then. Why doesn't somebody, you know, crop circles be damned, why doesn't somebody land on the lawn at the White House instead of some wheat farmer in Wichita, Kansas?
It wouldn't have happened during the Cold War because it would have caused a problem because the United States or the Russians would have demanded the technology, would have caused a problem. They were not going to allow themselves to communicate on that level until after the Cold War disappeared. And that's why we're going to have the communication in the 90s.
What's the UFO? What's the extraterrestrials' agenda?
They're as interested in us as we will be in them because we have evolved differently than they have, and we're not as advanced as them, but we had different problems. They basically are very interested in how we deal with a thicker three-dimensional environment than they have. They're in our universe, they're physical, but they have a different planet, a different environment. They're very interested in how we survived and evolved in this situation.
Now, Bob, they're not at all interested in having sex with our women, are they?
Not that I know of. They haven't made any advances on Connie yet.
Because I've had reports from women all over the United States claiming to have been abducted by extraterrestrials and having had sexual relations with these aforementioned extraterrestrials.
Well, when you have an environment, a satellite computer, mixed corporate media environment where people are flowing in each other, in through each other, the unconscious, including astral plane or other dimensions, burst up over the population. Basically, the population is on LSD due to the electric environment, and these are mass hallucinations. And that's all they are.
I'm having one myself. Sheila, are you getting any good answers here?
Yes, I am. I find this really fascinating. I think this guy is really interesting. Just one more quick question. So are the governments, are some of the governments of the world, do they know?
No, only there was this sighting in Russia in October 9th, 1989, the same day Lenin met Yoko, and that was in 1989, and that was communicated to Gorbachev and several military intelligence agencies through the Western world.
What was communicated?
They discussed it, but they couldn't do anything about it. They just were amazed that there was proof.
That John Lennon met Yoko Ono, that was transmitted to the Russians?
Beg your pardon?
No, he's saying just coincidentally.
Oh, coincidentally.
It happened in Russia, the sighting. There was lots of news about it. TASS reported it. They were telling the truth, but then it got poo-pooed by everybody else around the world media. The point is, several people know in six NATO countries about this incident, but they are helpless to do anything about it. We are going to see a performance, a spectacle, that no government or military intelligence will be able to control. And it's not true that Area 51 has high super technology that the humans are using.
And Bob, I'd like to just bring you back down to the planet Earth here. You know, conspiracy theories do spread around the world like a fire. One of the most interesting ones that I've heard recently that I did want to take this opportunity to throw at you and have you talk about is the one that's put out by a very reliable researcher in the States in Chicago by the name of Sherman Skolnick, who has had the opportunity of has a very successful track record in the States in convicting judges and putting judges on the Supreme Court in the United States into jail. So he is recognized as an expert, and he is putting out the idea now that the Oklahoma bombing was a tactical atomic weapon, and that they've concreted over that site as a way of keeping the radiation in.
Okay. Did you say the name Sherman Skolnick?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who it is.
I know you've worked with. I know Skolnick has studied you under you before.
Yeah, I know Sherman. Now here's the point.
And I'm just wondering if you could. If were you involved in that cover up? Is it true? What's going on?
The problem is that Sherman has a lot of good information, but right now he's being fed a lot of disinformation because he's a hot potato. He's accurate on some things. They have been feeding him stuff, and he's been misled. What happened in Oklahoma was exactly as it's been presented, the fertilizer bomb. The reason it caused that extra impact is because of the buildings around create a ricochet effect. And all the conspiracy theories that have developed out of suspicion that there was more than one bomb are wrong.
Okay, so basically you've put that to bed, and so it wasn't America's Hiroshima as he's reporting it.
No.
Okay, there you go, John. See, Bob's they're saying there wasn't the conspiracy.
But
I
find myself in the peculiar position, Bob, and I'm talking to Sheila as well. Sheila, you're still there, right?
Yep.
I'm finding myself in the very peculiar position of actually agreeing with Bob about something. More importantly, understanding what Bob is saying about something. Yes, I believe in the whole great cosmos. We are not the best that there is. There has to be other life forms. I still don't understand for the life of me why they don't make themselves known. The Cold War is over. We are ready. We don't have to take all the technology.
They are making themselves known, John, through the crop circles, but they will make themselves known the way you're projecting over the next 5 years. It's going to be an awesome spectacle. It's something that we can't even imagine. And it'll be undeniable.
Hey, I can imagine quite a bit.
Bob, you gave sort of a contradictory answer to my question. At first you said that there are no abductions and that this is all a figment of, you know, those people's fantasies. Then a few minutes later you said that there's a lower life form that are checking the cattle, so to speak.
Yeah, the cattle mutilations, that's all they're doing. They're not hassling people. They are a civilization interested in the phenomenon of the cattle, and that's what they're investigating. And many people have seen that and seen those vehicles and seen those beings. But they've either reported and were not believed, or they kept it to themselves. But they are not out to get us. You see, my enemies want to project a paranoid view of the UFO contact.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, they are friendly, they are intelligent, and it's going to be a great event.
One other last thing before I go to work in the morning. There's an ancient Indian tradition of thought that says that we don't come from Earth originally, that we ourselves are ETs. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I know a lot about that. The main fact that will be incorporated over the next 100 years in our understanding of evolution is that we were altered by the civilization from the Boothians in 27,000 B.C. And we were just, Neanderthals, pre-Cro-Magnon.
So they're sort of like gardeners of the universe or something, or?
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. Are they gardeners?
Not to control us, but they saw us evolving. They saw this little life form that they followed after the dinosaurs got zapped, and they saw this thing evolve, and then they said, okay, if we alter their wrist and their jaw, they will move into a more flexible capacity. And that was done, and they moved the, about 150 of these Cro-Magnon apes around the world, and that was 27,000 B.C., and we evolved very rapidly to the point that the Atlantean civilization was really booming in 14 and 13,000 B.C.
Sheila, I'm going to see you on the starship. I'll buy you a Klingon tea.
I'm looking forward to it.
Take care.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's move along here to Paul. Paul, good morning. Welcome to CFRV 1010.
Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Yes. Actually, I have three questions. Okay, my first question follows on from Sheila's question, which is, if you look at the ancient Egyptian and the Mayan civilization hieroglyphics, first of all, they were civilizations far advanced, unimaginable. And their hieroglyphics had drawings of alien spacecraft. So I'm wondering whether he can expand on that conspiracy. Secondly, the Jesus Christ stories and what we have been led to believe in the Bible and the teachings. And there's some information about that this also is a conspiracy theory. And then thirdly, the AIDS virus and other things like Ebola virus. And is there any connection with that and certain groups, as he's leading us to believe, trying to control the world?
Okay.
Okay.
The Atlanteans were the most advanced civilization, and they were destroyed in 10,000 B.C. They moved into Egypt and several other civilizations in the Mediterranean, and they influenced the pyramids. They had their levitation devices, very slight things that altered and created the pyramids. That's true, but they died out. Their blood merged with the Egyptians. Now, the Egyptians and the Indian civilization, they were static civilizations. They had six UFO vehicles that they developed from the... anti-gravity vehicles that they developed from the landing input, but they didn't know what to do with them. They weren't inclined to do with them, and they didn't have a technological change motive. All right, so that's the thing. They were advanced, more advanced than the image we have of them, but they weren't advanced the way we are today. We are anarchists compared to them, and we also change our environments and bring in new technologies. But the Atlanteans were not like the Egyptians and the Indians. That's the first thing. Now Jesus, he did a passion. I would say the Passover plot, the idea that he and his small group of friends put on a performance piece, that is true. He survived the assassination, the crucifixion. Now, the important thing about Jesus is he was probably the greatest psychic healer going. It was true that he could heal people, that he could heal himself. He healed himself from the cross. He was put on the cross. He survived it, and he survived after, and he had regrets that everybody misinterpreted his doctrine.
Okay. Now, what was his original doctrine intended to be?
It was to that power was an illusion.
That power was an illusion.
Yeah, and then he said you should learn to turn the other cheek. The basic message he gave that the world never incorporated and finds it very hard to do. That was his message.
Paul, we got to move along. One more question, very quickly. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Yes, one more question.
Oh, the AIDS virus.
Yes.
The AIDS virus. Okay, very quickly.
Okay, I'm going to risk everybody. We might get in trouble, but it was manufactured. It's called a viral debilitant, and it was genetically engineered, and it's meant to evolve. It was meant to weaken the population, the enemy target population, so they got immune problems for 2 weeks. Then it would mutate out so that they would get healthy again. But the military aspect of it was that you move in, you take over the population without killing them, you weaken their immune system, they can't resist you, then they get healthy again.
Well, if that is the premise, though, something went wrong.
And something went wrong.
It got away from them.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul, I hope that answers your questions. I got to go here, buddy.
Okay.
Take care.
And, John, that's why the virus becomes weaker over time, because it's programmed for 29 years to get more benign.
So you
it was programmed for 2 weeks, but it went out of control, and it'll get benign in 29 years.
So ultimately, we will win out over AIDS.
Yes.
Bob, I want to thank you for spending the time with us this morning.
I hope we survived that last bit of truth.
I hope we survived the last hour.
Okay, well, great talking to you, John.
Take care, Bob. We'll be in touch.
And thanks to Toronto.
Okay. That's Bob Dobbs, and he is the master spy for the Council of Ten, and we've been chatting about conspiracies. Nelson Thal, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Oh, microphone on. Microphone
thanks very
on.
Much,
yeah.
John.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed it.
We'll have you back again sometime, and maybe we'll chat about other things other than conspiracy theories.
Yeah, we'll get on to some other harder topic.